Edo, another episode of No Choftes on the OLB. I'm your host, Stel, and I'm joined again by Mr. Roy. Welcome back, my friend.
Hello, boys. How are you? How are you doing? Hi, Andre. Hi, Stel. Thanks, Andre, for the accepting our invitation. It's an honor to have a person like you on our show. Thank you so much.
Good evening, Stel. Good evening, Roy. Thank you very much for the invitation, and I'm looking forward for this interview.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure, Philemon. And Roy's done the introduction for me. He's introduced Andre. All the listeners or the viewers know who this gentleman is. Again, thank you for joining us on the podcast. It's an absolute pleasure and an absolute honor. We want to talk about your time at Omonia, but before we go into that, let's talk about the degree that you obtained in Hull. I've been to Hull, and what possessed you to go there? No disrespect to Hull, but I was born in Edmonton, which is a very rough place in North London, and going to Hull, kind of similar.
Yeah, so basically at the age of 28, I started thinking what I will do after I finish football. However, I think it was an automatic choice that I wanted to become a coach because I think it runs in the family. My grandfather was a player. He was also a coach. My father was a football player as well. He was also a coach. My uncle's the same. So I think it was an automatic choice for me. And yes, I started thinking about to do a degree, especially on sports science, because I believe that the UEFA diplomas that we do in coaching, I believe it's not enough, but I need to know certain aspects of the game, even when it comes to the physical aspect of the game. So basically, I started first at the University of Nicosia, especially when I was playing in Omonia. However, I couldn't finish it because then I had to move to Portugal. So then I chose a long distance degree, which was the one that we are speaking about. Yeah. And I was it was an extremely important degree for me because I've learned a lot. Luckily enough, I graduated this year. However, I couldn't fly to England, to graduate as students should do.
Yeah, for obvious reasons. Tell me something. This degree that you did, was there an element of strength and conditioning involved?
Yeah, basically, I had a module about strength and conditioning. However, it was mainly focused on sports science and coaching in football. So it was a little bit specified in the football industry. So I didn't, specify so much on strength and conditioning, but I had a module, which is very interesting at this stage. And yeah, and of course, I have a good friend of mine who is also a performance coach. And together, we created this company called Trainer because I believe that a lot of players and a lot of clubs around the world, has a one-size-fits-all approach. And we believe that every player has his physical ceiling capacity and everybody has to reach it. But you can reach it by applying an individualized approach, not by doing a one-size-fits-all approach.
Mm, absolutely. Well, it leads me on to my next question, really. If you look at the teams that you've played for over the years, and the methods of sports science these days, which team would you say was probably ahead of their time back then when you were kicking ball about?
To be honest, I played in many different countries. Well, actually, I changed 6 countries. However, a philosophy which I liked so much when it comes to the strength and conditioning was the German philosophy. However, this was 10 years back. So at that time, it wasn't as we know it today, so we did a lot of circuit training, which is a one size fits all approach. So for example, you had a bar, everybody's doing the squat with the same weights. And that's not how the approach should be, because maybe I can lift less and the next player can lift more, however, at that time, in my opinion, it was good for us, because I think I felt the most fit in the game. I played in second Bundesliga, I also played in third Bundesliga. And, the more you go down, the more you have to run. In England, it's the same,
Oh, yes, absolutely. And while we're on the subject of sports science, very quickly, there's a difference between return to play and return to form, isn't there? A huge difference. And when you look at the way that science has evolved in football these days, are you surprised with the way that some teams are still set in their old way, so to speak?
Yes, actually, I am. To be honest, there is a lot of methodologies nowadays. You have the tactical periodization. which in my opinion, there is a one size fits all approach. They believe that the physical part of the game should be done with the ball, you know, in a tactical aspect, which is good at the end of the day. However, I believe that the individual has to maximize his potential with an individualized program, you know, when it comes to strength. And I think a lot of top clubs, you know, are heading to this. They are already there, but they are also heading to this approach. And in fact, we can see a big difference when we see the top clubs in Europe with the other clubs in Europe. You see a whole difference. The top clubs can even run more, you know, they are more stronger than, and maybe in the future, there will be a big, big gap.
Fantastic. One more question before I let Roy get onto the Omonia section. Tell us a bit about Trainer, mate. It seems like a very, very interesting project.
Yeah, exactly. So the reason about Trainer was this reason. You know, I felt in my career that I never fulfilled my potential when it comes to the physical aspect of the game. And why? Because in each club I was, they had a one-size-fits-all approach, maybe because there was not so much resources at that time, or maybe knowledge was at that level. So, yeah, the thing was that me and my best friend, who's Christian Vassallo, who's been working in the UK for the last 15 years. He was also in Arsenal as well for 5 years. So he worked in high-performance environment as well. You know, we came with this idea that we have like a remote coaching company where we can help that player to maximize his potential. If he feels that with his club, you know, he's not maximizing his potential, you know, it's this is where we come into, you know. We will meet him 3 times per year, so we'll have to meet him face-to-face first. We will do the necessary tests, which are very recent tests that the EPL does them, you know. We will create an individual development for him, you know, but in the meantime, we will provide him with a performance nutritionist, with a performance coach, which is the strength and conditioning coach, with a performance psychologist, you know, and also like a talent ID developer or a tactical coach, you know, where if he wants, you know, although the professional clubs, you know, do certain performance analysis, if he wants, we can do a performance analysis individually for him, you know. So basically, our slogan is like you're having the team behind the pro, you know. Nowadays, you know, the modern game is so much high. Everybody wants to be the best. That to be the best, you need experts behind you. And, you know, our people who work with Trainer are people who are working in the highest environment. For example, our performance nutritionist is the nutritionist of Tottenham Hotspurs. So he works in week in, week out with Mourinho. Our performance psychologist is the head psychologist of Arsenal. Our strength and conditioning coach is the strength and conditioning coach of the under-23s of Arsenal. We have a talent ID scout as well for young kids who'd like to be with Trainer, who is the scout of Manchester United. So these are people who are working in the highest environment. And that's what we believe. We believe that if you want to fulfill your potential, you need to fulfill it with experts behind you.
Well, that's it. If you want to reach the elite level, then you got to go with the elite. It's pretty simple, isn't it? You know, and if you don't have that hunger and desire, then there you go. You're going to stagnate. Well, look, thanks for that. Let's go on to Omonia and your journey with the club that started in 2012. Roy, I'll hand it over to you, my friend.
Yeah, okay. Well, basically, I'm going to take the pass from Stella. And, okay, it's an Omonia-related question, but as a former player and as a coach now, I'd like to ask you about what you think of Henning Berg's work so far at Omonia.
Well, actually, I am surprised not only with the coach, Henning Berg, but also I think that there is Mr. Larko behind the team. I think finally Omonia the last 2 years have created an identity which was missing so much in my times. You know, I believe that a club should have a football philosophy. Omonia had an identity, but didn't have a football philosophy. And when we mean a football philosophy, it's having a style of play. And the style of play will define the type of players you want in that style of play, and especially the coach. And I believe that Mr. Larko has done it well, Henningberg as well. And you can see Omonia, they're doing fantastic. And to be honest, you know, it's nice to see clubs like Omonia, which is the biggest club, let's say it, in Cyprus, to be on the top of the table, yes? Especially with clubs like Apollon, Anorthosis, and, you know, other clubs who are a little bit down as well, yeah?
Never mind. Leave them there. So, just under a quarter of your senior club appearances, 103 out of a total of 446, and 52 goals out of a total of 131 goals. So, is it fair to say that Omonia is the biggest chapter in your career and the team you will be affiliated with and have a special part in your heart. Was that like the best period in your career? Do you consider that the best period in your career? Can you just tell us about the time in Omonia time?
Yeah, basically, I believe, you know, in my career, I changed many clubs because my aim was that once I leave Malta, I want to try and reach the highest league I can ever reach. And for a Maltese player, it's very difficult to make it. Even if you're a very, very good player, the moment that's that agency or passport that you're from Malta, you know, they find it difficult to propose you to other teams. Yes, I had many successful seasons as well with Ferencvaros, which is a great club like Omonia, but in Hungary. Also Prasina, you know, so it's the green color. Yes, I scored 16 goals there. I also had successful years in Germany as well, also in Portugal as well, my last club in India, you know. However, yes, with Apollon as well, you know, we qualified two times in the Europa League, which was one of my dreams to play at one of the highest levels in Europe. But also Omonia, I think it was one of the nicest chapters in my life. Why? Because I spent 4 years there, you know, and 4 years in a professional career is a lot, to be honest. But the most special thing with Omonia was that I made a lot of Cypriot friends, especially from Nicosia, you know, that for me, this is part of football. I mean, we have to see football, not just the game, but also the things surrounding it, you know, and things that I liked in Omonia was the passion of the people, you know. It's not just you know, because you have a lot of clubs who are big. However, you know, the passion of the fans was something special for me, especially when I experienced in 2012, when there was this financial problem, you know. We were as players, you know, going around like social clubs in Limassol, in Nicosia, in also villages, which honestly I never heard about them, you know. And seeing people who had, you know, just little cash at that time, and you know, in Cyprus in 2013 there was this problem with the banks, you know, giving money to the club, you know. Yeah. Because they really loved it. And you know, when I saw this, I said, oh my god, I mean, you could see the passion of the people, and this is something that kept you know with me, and I think I will keep it with me until I die, because you know, it's nice to see people giving something, the least that they can give, to see their club going forward, you know.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So that leads me to my next question. You sort of answered it in your own way without knowing what I was going to ask. But looking at the squad in 2012, but even in years to come, we had players likes of Moreira, Drandes, Caramoncino, Spungin, Aguiar, Suarez, Nuno, Marcasa, Leandro, Alves, yourself, Christofi, Freddy. I mean, these are really quality players, and I was surprised, you know, because at your time at the club, we ranked third, fifth, fourth, and fourth. And what do you think went wrong these times? Because looking at the squad, it was like full of quality, and you know, any one of these players could have made a difference in a team, and we had them all, Omonia, but yet we seemed to struggle at the time. So what do you think was the problem back then?
No, yes, exactly. You are totally right. I think in my career, the two best teams I ever played with were Omonia at that time when we came third, I think, the year you were mentioning, and also Apollon, the first year I played with, when you remember we were winning 5-6-0 every game, although we were losing against Apoel, you know, but we had a fantastic team, you know. Yeah, fantastic squad, you know, many good players, many players with potential. However, we ended up winning nothing, you know, both teams. I believe, you know, the first thing is when you start with football philosophy. It doesn't mean that you have a lot of quality players, means that you're a good team. I first believe that as a team, you need to have a style of play. And that will define the type of players you bring. It doesn't mean you have 30 fantastic players, it's a good team. I prefer to get 5 fantastic players and they fit in that style of play. However, with all this, I believe there should be a leader. And, you know, a leader is important because a leader will get the best out of his people. You can't have a lot of individuals in a club. You can't have a lot of players, very good players, but they come in Cyprus like a holiday, you know, which was the case at the end of the day. You know, you a lot of foreigners were coming in Cyprus just for the salaries and for having fun, you know. It wasn't just, you know, just to reach something, because at the end of the day, I mean, players were coming after the ages of 30, 32, 34. I mean, you know, who's coming, with all due respect, who's coming to Cyprus with the age of 34 to try and win something? Okay, you are a professional, but not everybody's the same.
There are exceptions, obviously. Okay, so yeah, so I also agree. I believe that if I had to pick a team, I would pick the 11 players that together play the best football rather than the 11 best players, if you know what I mean. So I agree with what you said. But yeah, it's still, you know, it's a bit surprising that we didn't manage to win any trophies, and disappointing as well. So like I mentioned earlier, looking at the squad, there was so much talent and we didn't achieve to win this. But I'd like to ask you, how was the atmosphere off the pitch, you know, because, you know, the atmosphere and the environment in the dressing room, how was the relationship between players? Because we had players from all around the world at the time. We had players from everywhere. And I'd like to ask you, you know, maybe you can tell us some unheard stories, or maybe, you know, who was your roommate, some funny stories, some, you know, more personal moments that fans didn't really have the chance to hear about, you know. So yeah.
No, basically, I mean, yeah, the environment within the team was very good. I mean, especially the time, which was, I believe, 2015 until 2016, the time I came back from Germany. Yeah. Yes, but before there was Kayafas as well. I mean, so there was Kayafas before, and there was, you know, Cypriot players who I felt really comfortable with, maybe because we are Mediterranean people, I don't know. So it was me, Yorgo Economidis, Rushas, Dimitris Christofi. There was also Sheridan with us. Yeah, Sheridan. Yes, amazing guy. You know, so believe me, you know, I mean, this was a team. There was a lot of youngsters, you know, Filiotis was now with Apollon, Catellaris, you know. Yeah, Fanos, that we were like a team, that even after the games, you know, we used to enjoy going out after a win, you know. Even our motivation at that time was even to win, to go out and enjoy together, you know. It wasn't about the money, you know. At that time in Omonia, you used to take us 3 months to get paid, you know. So basically, even with the Portuguese, with Nuno, Assis used to be with us, with Andrade. So there was a team. However, I believe that there wasn't this leader that could take us into the right direction. You know what I mean? And that's why sometimes you need a leader. And yes, a leader at the time, you know, he can use his strategic thinking to help the team go further, you know? But yeah, basically behind the scenes, we were all good friends, you know, good guys. We had no problems. And yeah, it was a little bit strange how we couldn't get some success at least. I don't know why, maybe the pressure as well, but I don't think so. I still believe that a leader and a football philosophy wasn't defined in Omonia at that time.
Andre, do you think there's a term that we use in England, the weight of the shirt. Do you think there was a lot of pressure because of the size of the club and the expectation? Because we won the league in 2010 and you came a couple seasons after that. So do you think there's still the fans riding a crest of a wave saying, right, we've got this new form. And there were still a few players that had won the title at the squad. So do you think that there were fans saying, right, we need to win the league? You know, Abuel breathing down our necks, Abolon are there or thereabouts, Anorthosis, et cetera, et cetera.
It could be, but I don't think everybody's the same. I believe, you know, you had players like Moreira, like Nuno, who played, you know, at the highest level with Benfica. Imagine 80,000 every game. I think that's pressure as well, you know. I think, yes, some players would feel the pressure, to be honest, you know, especially when you play in Omonia, you know, home in a derby, you have 18,000, you know, you can't make a mistake or they start shouting. But, you know, in my opinion, that motivated me. But for other players, it was maybe too much. But I don't think that everybody was the same. I don't think the team had, every player had that pressure that that at the end of the day, if he fails, you know, it's something big, you know, but there were some that, yes, felt it before the game. I think pressure is sometimes good, but too much pressure, then it's not good as a player.
Mm. But were there any youngsters who at the club you felt could make it at the top, but then they kind of went downhill?
If I remember well, at that time, the only youngsters that we had, you know, playing in our team were, you know, Filiotis sometimes, especially when we had the cup, Catellaris, there was also Marios Dimitriou. There were some youngsters as well, which I can't remember at this stage. However, as you know much better than me, in countries like Cyprus, Greece, Malta, south of Italy, the chances, they don't give chances to the locals, you know. They don't have patience with the locals, you know, which is very sad, to be honest, because I believe, you know, I believe that as a club, you need to invest a lot of money in the academy. Because if you don't invest a lot of money in the academy, you know, you end up paying for a lot of foreigners, you know, and wasting money on foreigners that at the end of the day are not up to standard to the club, you know. And so I believe that one of the main problems in Cyprus is that they don't invest so much money in the academy and help Cypriot players to go up, you know, and play in the first team. However, some clubs are doing it nowadays because they can't afford foreigners. So maybe on the other thing, it's good that we're in this situation at this stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a silver line. So basically, since we're running against the clock and since we spoke about the talents, I want to ask your personal opinion about two talents in specific Kinomonia, Loizo and Johnny. I mean, because they're players that played in a similar position like you did as well. What do you think of them, and what's the advice you would generally give to them?
No, amazing players. I really enjoy watching them play. I mean, they have good potential. I don't like to use the term talent, because I believe talent is something you are born with, you know, that you are born a player, which I don't believe. I think you are born with a potential, but then it depends on the environment you're living to fulfill that potential. And I believe that that both of them have potential, and they have a great career ahead of them. However, my advice I would give them that sometimes, you know, you need to get out of your comfort zone. And if they have the chance, I don't think the Omonia fans will be happy with me, but if they have the chance to try and play abroad, you know, and, you know, get better as a player, because basically, you know, they reached a level, you know, you reach a level in Cyprus when you are young that you are the best player and you can't go to another level. So the best thing is to try and leave Cyprus to get better. And why not then return to Omonia? So I believe that they have the potential to make it abroad. But I think they are wonderful players, and that you see them, they're helping the club, you know. And it's honestly, I'm not Cypriot, I'm Maltese, but I enjoy watching Cypriots, you know, make it abroad, you know, like Laifis, Pieros, you know. I mean, it's nice to see players from small countries, you know, making it at a high level.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, before we move on to the last part of the interview and the podcast, I'd like to ask you the million-dollar question. It's the question that everyone asks me. It's the question, if I had like only one question to ask you, would have been this. So a few years ago, during a game against everyone knows who, you know, you made a hand gesture to the referee, insinuating basically to him that, you know, you're getting paid. So what was on your mind? What were you thinking? I mean, years later, do you regret that? Were you sure about what you were doing? Were you, you know, you knew what you were doing at the time? Or was it, you know, the pressure of the game, the passion? Or so, yeah, if you would like to tell us your side of the story.
Yeah, so basically, we have to go a little bit back from that. Basically, when I was in Cyprus, especially when I was with Omonia, I was living alone. So I spent a lot of time, you know, going to cafeterias, like reading a book, you know, speaking with fans, because, you know, in Nicosia, you can only see Omonia fans, you know. Sometimes, you know, even, you know, going to pay for the coffee, and the guy tells me that the coffee has been paid from the other fan, you know. So, you know, I became a fan, you know, I became a fan of Omonia. I wasn't just a player, and you could see me in the pitch, you know. I used to give everything. I mean, I was, if I had to say it, I was the least foreigner paid in Omonia, but I didn't care about the money. I cared that I wanted to be successful with this team. So I felt it was part of me, you know. So basically, every time I played with Omonia, whether it was with Apoel, Anorthosis, or whatever, or with a small team, Paralimni maybe, I always felt that I wasn't playing only as a Maltese player, but I was representing the fans, you know. And especially, you know, when Omonia play Apoel, it's not just a game, you know. I always say that this derby is something special in this world, because there is the political ideologies behind it, you know, and it's something which in not so many countries it is like that, you know. And I believe I played in many derbies, you know, like Boavista, Porto, like Ferencváros, Újpest. I played also in Germany, you know, in East Germany when I was in Karlsruhe with Erfurt, which was very, very, very intense as well. But with Omonia, well, it was something different, you know. I was representing a society, you know. Yeah. And I believe that every time I played against Apoel, my emotional balance went up. So looking back at the gesture, I made a mistake, to be honest, because you should never make a gesture like that, even though maybe you have evidence or not. You should never make that gesture. So it was a mistake for me. But you know, sometimes in the game, when you are playing for someone, you know, you lose your emotions, especially when you think that, you know, Carlão pushed me like a wrestler and he didn't give a penalty, you know, which was clear at that time, you know. So yes, I lost my emotions. I was, maybe if you could say it, emotionally ignorant. But at the time, you know, I had many arguments with referees, unfortunately, because I believe, and if you go on YouTube, watch them, I think I had chances to get penalties or fouls or red cards. But you know, this is the game of football. This is the game of football, and we have to also, as players and for the future as a coach, you know, I have to respect the decision of the coaches. However, you know, in life, although life is not fair, you know, we have to try and be fair to everyone. But...
Okay, so thank you very much for that, Andre. And still, do you want to take it away for the last part and then maybe I can ask?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Not a problem. Andre, we've got a lot of love for you. A lot of fans messaging when they found out. It's, oh my goodness, we need to ask this guy questions. And I've picked out I wouldn't say the best ones, but the ones where you can say, well, you know, there were a lot of popular questions before, so I didn't want to kind of like, you know. Anyway, so, right, your opinion on corruption in the Cypriot League over the years. What's your opinion on that one?
I to be honest, it's a very difficult question to answer because, as I mentioned before, if you don't have evidence, you can't judge anything, you know. So sure. There is a lot of talk, especially in small societies like Cyprus, Malta, anything that if something happens, it's a corrupted game or something. But if you don't have the evidence, you can't speak.
Fantastic. Mancia asks, how did you feel when you scored twice against Anorthosis?
Amazing. Unfortunately, I never scored twice against Apoel, to be honest. I only scored once. But yeah, every time I scored in a derby, I think it was something amazing, you know, especially when it's a very, very tight game and yeah, very, you know, an important game for the fans, you know, and that's something that made me happy, that at the end of the day, when I scored, I made the fans happy.
Excellent. Christo asks, what's your opinion on Pirlo calling you a kamikaze footballer in his autobiography?
It was very funny. If you had to read the book, you know, it was a very funny 3 pages about me. However, I feel honored because I believe I made my job well. Yeah, if you had to mention me alongside Totti, alongside Park Ji-sung as well. So I think I made my job quite well.
You made life difficult for him, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant. Final question from Sergio. He asks, how did you choose the shooting celebration, which I presume is the one against Abuel?
Yeah, actually, one fan told me to do that, to be honest. And to make him happy, I did it.
Brilliant. Look, there's one more question from me. Sherry, how much of a nutcase was he? Because I know Sherry, he's absolutely hilarious. But what was he like in the dressing room? He's laughing already.
Yeah, amazing guy. I mean, in the pitch, he was so professional, even outside the pitch. Maybe he gives a different image, but inside and outside, professional guy, but amazing guy to stay with. I mean, he came to my wedding as well in Malta, you know, which was so funny, you know. And yeah, fantastic guy, fantastic Irish guy, you know. And yeah, we're still in touch. And yeah, I miss being with him, to be honest.
Fantastic. Thank you. Roy, final wrap up, mate.
Yeah, basically, I've got a few more questions, like one-liners, basically. The toughest defender you played against with in Cyprus. I mean, because obviously you played the very highest level, but in Cyprus, who was the toughest defender you played against?
Yeah, I mean, there was Carlão, who was always hitting me. There was Marquise as well, who was always, you know, grabbing me, you know. So those two, I believe.
I said football players, not wrestlers.
Good one.
Okay, so best teammate, again, Omonia.
I had many, to be honest. But if I had to choose one, I think it was honestly for Ostrushas, because he really treated me like his brother, you know, especially when I was alone. There was also Yorgos Economides, because sometimes Rusas went to Paralimni and Yorgo, you know, took me with his family for dinners, you know. So a lot of players, I mean, the Cypriots are amazing for their welcoming, you know, and I really enjoyed it with them.
Best goal?
Best goal. I believe the one against Apoel was an amazing goal, not because I mean, it's not something special, but the ball came, if you could see it again, to control, it wasn't easy. Yeah. And especially against Apoel, you know, in front of those fans, was something special for me.
So, okay, the game you remember the most and the game you want to delete from your memory.
So, the game I remember the most. So, let me start from the one that I delete. I would delete the cup final against Apollon.
Okay.
I thought that I would win something with Omonia and I never achieved it. And the game that I will remember is all the derbies I won. I mean, with Anortos, with Apoel once, but I didn't play that game. In fact, I never won against Apoel at Omonia because when we won 3-0, I was on the bench.
Yeah.
So,
okay, so growing up, who was your role model, football role model?
Well, in Malta, my grandfather was my role model. However, abroad was Francesco Totti because I'm a Roma fan, and he was my role model. In fact, I used to do my hair like him, you know. So.
Yeah. Great. A few more questions, if we have the time. If you weren't a player, a football player, what would you have been?
Maybe a lawyer or a politician.
Okay.
However, close to the people. Not close to the elitist.
so left-wing party. okay, favorite holiday destination?
Favorite holiday destination. So I believe it should be Rome. Food, history, culture.
Yeah. And do you remember any of the chants from the Omonia Ultras? Like, well, the chants we were singing from Thira and Nyaha back then?
Well, I remember all of them, actually. I remember against Apoel, all the songs that Tirania say. Exactly, that's what. I also remember against Yangolonia, sorry.
Yeah.
The fights that there were before the game.
Okay.
Also against Anorthosis when I scored the two goals after the game, you know. I mean, this wasn't about the fight, but, you know, the passion of the fans was something that... at that time, it's nice to experience. Nowadays, you can't experience it because no fans for me, no football. I mean,
yeah, that's true. So a couple of more before I we let you go. Okay, you were Omonia for 2 years. You went to Germany. You came back. You spent another 2 years. You went to Portugal. And then you signed for Apollon. Was there talk about you signing for Omonia for the third time or Omonia was nowhere in the picture when you signed
for Apollon? No. Omonia was never interested, and I believe they were right because you leave once, you leave twice. I mean, even if it wasn't my fault on the second time, but I believe you should never sign a player on the third time. You know, so it was right from them. And so I had never the opportunity to go with Omonia on the third time. However, you know, I mean, Cyprus is my second home. As you know, I love Cyprus. You know, and I had the chance to come back to Cyprus. To Apollon, which I will never regret because I love it here. It's my home at this stage. You know, my family is happy here. And so, yeah, they made my life easier to come back to Cyprus. Yeah.
Okay. So I think I covered my questions and the way you spoke, the way you answered the last question answered my last question, which was Omonia Apollon title race. What do you think?
It's not easy. I'm watching all the games, to be honest. It's going to be tight, to be honest. It's going to be tight. But this is one of the nicest things in Cyprus. But you can't say that it's only Omonia Apollon. There is also Anorthosis. There is also IL. And it's been a long time in Cyprus when you had a couple of teams challenging for the league. You know, before it was only two teams. You know, so I think it's healthy for the league. You know. It's going to be difficult. So we'll see. But hopefully, I hope that by the end of the season, some fans will come into the pitch because football without fans is nothing.
Yeah. Okay.
Perfect answer from a budding politician there, the diplomatic answer. I like you. You're very, very smart, Skembri. I like you, Mr. Skembri. Brilliant. Fantastic. Well, look, thank you ever so much for joining us, mate. Really appreciate it. Before we let you go, do you have any social media you'd like to promote?
No, I mean, first of all, I would like to thank you to give me this opportunity. I would like to also thank, you know, Omonia as a club and as a fans, you know, Tirania and also the other fans that gave me such happy moments with the club. You know, I want to also thank Apollon at this stage because I'm also a coach of the under 15s of Apollon that they gave me the chance to come back and also the fans. So, yeah, I'm very happy that in Cyprus, you know, and why not? Maybe one day you will see me a coach of one of the teams in Cyprus, yeah?
Fingers crossed, eh? Well, that's it for our episode of the No Choftes podcast. You can catch us on Twitter, on social media, on YouTube. Hit that like button, subscribe, and that's it. So until next time, Roy?
Yeah, Bameshila Kamuje. Thank you, Andre. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.